Ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. The title of the message this morning is The Goodness of God. We'll begin reading in Romans in the second chapter. Romans chapter 2, the second verse. He said, "We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." And then in verse 4, he said, "Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Now this scripture talks about the riches of his goodness. And there is another message that is tied with the judgments of God. But what he's bringing out here is that don't you know the riches of his goodness? Because when we despise the goodness of God, when we despise that, there's going to be a judgment. But I want us to consider and focus on the goodness of God this morning. He called it here, he said, the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. You know, the Lord has been good to all of us here this morning. God has been good. And there's a lot of reasons that we could enumerate why God has been good to us. He has borne long with all of us, has he not? Forbearance. Have you ever borne with someone for a while and you got to the point, it's like, okay, enough's enough. I've been long-suffering, but I've suffered long enough. Do you know the Lord is long-suffering? That's his goodness this morning. And he said the riches of his goodness, that he's long-suffering, he's slow to anger, he bears long with people and withholds his judgment and punishment. God has withheld, all of us at times in our life have deserved the punishment from God and judgment. Is there anyone here that has not deserved punishment or judgment from God? And yet, he withheld it. Do you know why he withheld it? Because he loves you this morning. It's because he's good. Behold the goodness of God this morning. Sometimes I think we don't understand the fullness of the goodness of God. I have been meditating on this for the last couple of weeks probably, and my heart has been full of the goodness of God. And there have been times that have gone through some difficulties and have burdens on my heart, and the enemy kind of came in and said, "What are you going to say about God's goodness now? What are you going to say about his goodness? Because, I mean, look at this." And my heart filled up, and I was able to say in my heart and with my mouth, "God is so good. God has been so, so good." Some of you remember, and some of you maybe remember Sister Judy Boer testifying. And I can still hear her, and she got up, and when she'd get fired up, she doesn't just say, and I'm not in where she goes to service anymore, but I remember her saying many times, she would say, "God is so good," but that's not how she said it. Some of you heard her say that. She said, "God is so good." And I've been thinking about this week, God has been so good. Why has he been good? Because he's been faithful, he's been loving, he's been merciful, he's withheld his judgment. And this is a Thanksgiving message. I just want to say to the Lord this morning, Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being so good to us when we didn't deserve it. We don't deserve the goodness of God this morning, but he's been so good to us. And there's another passage of Scripture over in Romans 11 in the 22nd verse that says, "Behold therefore the what? The goodness and severity of God. He said, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, behold the goodness of God. So for just a little bit this morning, I would like to behold the goodness of God. When you behold something, you kind of take a step back and you look at it. Say, oh, behold. Behold the goodness of God this morning. I don't know of any better way than going and reading a little bit of what David wrote about it in Psalm 107. And in talking about Sister Judy Boer, I think, and I've been feeling like that the last couple of weeks, all I can say is, Lord, you've been so good. The goodness of God. And I had a heavy burden this week, and I just, and it would have tried to pull me down in a sense, and yet there's something that held me up. The goodness of God. God has been so good. And so David wrote about this in Psalm 107. And for the sake of time, we're just going to skip through a few verses. But in verse 8, he said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. I would this morning that people praise the Lord for his goodness. We are living in a time and in a culture that people are not giving God praise enough. In a lot of places, people can give him praise with their mouth, and then they go back home to their sin. I'm not interested in that kind of praise. Not interested in coming to service and having a big hoopla, if you will, and then going home and living in carnality. But I'm talking about living a life of praise and being willing to open up our mouth and our hearts and say, Lord, you're good, I praise you. Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. I asked him last week where we were. I said, how long has it been since you said praise the Lord? How long has it been since you said hallelujah? Oh, that men would praise the Lord out of a pure heart. See, we're talking out of a pure heart. And he said, praise the Lord. Why? Because of his goodness. Because God is good. He's worthy of our praise and worthy of our thanksgiving. In verse 2, I started reading in verse 8 and 9, but in verse 2 he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Are you redeemed this morning? David said, and this correlates with the New Testament. Because, see, we can go to the Old Testament and find, and I'm not interested in picking and choosing, but this correlates with what the New Testament teaches in giving God thanks and praise. And then in verse 9, he gives us more reasons. He said, for the wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Are you satisfied this morning? If you are not satisfied, behold the goodness of God. If you are hungry and you have a need in your life, there is a God this morning who is worthy and is full of goodness. Because I am convinced that the enemy has tried to deceive people and even people that come to church. He's tried to make, and sometimes maybe worse for them, he tries to make people think that God is up there with his sword raised. All right, any mistake you make here, if I'm just playing God and I went around and any little mistake you make, I'm just going to cut you off. You did what? Oh, what did you do? You talk like, and just God, it's like this hard God. This God that is just there ready to cut us off and judge us and condemn us. That's not the God that we serve this morning. Isn't that wonderful? We have a God that is full of goodness. He's done so much for us. And when you make a mistake, God is not wanting to cut you off. When you make a mistake, God is going to be the one. When others may turn their back on you, it is God that is going to be there to reach out his hand and say, let me help you. Let me lift you up. That's the God that we serve this morning. He's worthy of our praise because he's been so good. And the enemy would like to make us think that God is a hard God. That we have to, it's hard to approach. And you know, sometimes children are, they feel like they can't approach their parents. Y'all ever been there? You feel like maybe you couldn't just be vulnerable. Do you realize that we can be vulnerable with the Lord this morning? Because when we come into His presence, if I can really understand that this is the God that loved me enough to send His Son to die for me, and now I'm struggling, why do I need to be afraid to come into His presence? I don't have to be afraid like, oh, I can't be vulnerable with God. No, we can come before the Lord and we can just say it like it is. You know, some people you just can't tell them like it is, right? You wouldn't be able to trust everybody just to bare your soul in all the things that you're struggling with. But when we come to God this morning, because of His goodness, we can be vulnerable with Him and say, Lord, because He knows where we're at anyway. So I might as well acknowledge and say, Lord, I'm struggling with this. Lord, I'm really needing help here because I know this isn't, I know you have something better for me. And Lord, I'm really struggling and I'm battling this. And we don't have to be afraid to do that with God this morning. He's good. He's full of goodness and He wants to help us. So thank God for that. He satisfies the longing soul. And then on down in verse 8 through 9, and we read a little bit, and then you read on down through this whole passage. It says, some sat in darkness, in the shadow of death, and they cried to the Lord. And what do you think the Lord did? He saved them. He brought healing. He calmed the storm. David talks about this throughout this passage. He turned the dry ground into springs of water. He increased the yield of the field. And then in verse 21, he comes back around. He said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. How are we declaring the works of God? Do you realize when we recognize the goodness of God, it should start putting a spring in our step? And that doesn't mean that we don't have burdens. It doesn't mean that I'm always feeling the best physically or financially. It doesn't mean that you won't have any difficulties in relationships. It doesn't mean that everything is just going perfectly for you. But it means I'm a child of God. And it gives that spring in the step when I consider the goodness of God. And that we can declare that to everyone without hesitation. God has been good. And you may say, well, but Brother Michael, you don't know the battle that I've been in. But is God still good? I look around and I don't know everything you all face. I know some of the things you all have been facing. God is good. God is really good. And if it weren't for His goodness, would any of us be here this morning? If it weren't for the goodness of God, I would not be here this morning. If it weren't for the goodness of God, I would not be saved this morning. If it weren't for the goodness of God, I would be a very different person. But God changed my life. He has been there to help me in my needs and in my struggles. God has been there to carry me when I could not walk. He has been there to heal me when I needed healing. He has been there to be merciful when I needed mercy. And I say, oh, God is good. Behold the goodness of God this morning. As a young person, or as a child, really, and maybe some of you, has anybody here read the book, The Cross and the Switchblade? All right, there's a couple. I like it all except for the last chapter, if I remember correctly. But as a young person, I read that book more, as a child, I read that book more than once. So it was about a minister, it was written by a minister, David Wilkerson, I believe was his name. And he was, let me see if I wrote it down to get it right. Yes, it was Wilkerson. So Nicky Cruz, he wrote a story, and in the story, it's Nicky Cruz was a child that grew up in Puerto Rico. His mother was in witchcraft. His mother told him, you are the son of Satan. She abused him verbally and physically. And told him he was good for nothing, and she wished he'd never been born. So that's what he grew up under. As a teenager, he was sent to New York City. And there he got involved in a gang. It was in the 1950s. He got involved in a gang, and it was a very dangerous gang, and he became the leader of it eventually. Very dangerous person. See the cross and the switchblade. And this individual, this minister, went and did street ministry reaching out to gangs. And this young man, Nicky, he said later he felt like he was in a black tunnel with no way out. And when he was told that God loved him, one night something broke in his life. When the Spirit of the Lord really brought that home to him, that Jesus loves you. And in weeping, he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And he testified that he felt clean and loved and free for the first time, because his soul had been starving for the goodness of God. That goodness is extended to all of us here this morning. It's good. And if there's something in your life this morning, it just seems like you've been holding on to, behold the goodness of God. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants to minister to you. There's a very familiar passage that is read frequently. Many of you could probably quote it, but in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, it says, "The Lord hath appeared of old, saying, Yea, I have loved thee." With what? "With an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." This is the God that we serve. And this prophecy, and understand, this was written while the children of Israel, or actually before the children of Israel returned from Babylon. They were in captivity in Babylon, and Jeremiah the prophet was saying, the Lord is, he loves you. He hasn't forgotten you. Yes, you're in captivity, but God is drawing you. And then in verse 14, he said, "I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness." And you know what it means to be fat? It means to have surplus. In other words, the Lord blessed his priest with fatness. Thank God for fatness. They had surplus. In other words, they weren't lacking. They weren't lacking anything. But he was going to meet all of their needs. And he said, "And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness." The question is, are you satisfied this morning? Are you satisfied? If you're not satisfied, you've been looking in the wrong places. People that are not satisfied many times are selfish people. I want this and I want that and this and that. But if we could behold the goodness of God and recognize that the Lord wants to become part of our life in a very intimate way today. Because see, the goodness of God is much more than theological. The goodness of God is deeply personal. And I wonder how much we have opened up our hearts to the goodness of God. Well, these prophecies, and you can put this one in your file cabinet, but prophecies in the Old Testament that pointed to a fulfillment amongst the Jews very often were pointing to a greater fulfillment with the coming of Jesus Christ. So many people today even are looking at prophecy saying, well, that hasn't come to pass yet. And I say, yes, many of those prophecies have come to pass with the coming of the Messiah. So we read later on in this same chapter where the Lord is saying, I'm going to satiate my people with goodness. I'm going to satisfy the longing heart. He said in verse 31, "Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. And with the house of Judah." God has made a new covenant. The old covenant has been fulfilled with the coming of Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews tells us that he made a new covenant with us. And in this new covenant, these promises of God's loving kindness, of satiating us with his goodness, it's there for all of us. So if we're lacking, do you know whose fault that is? It's ours. And I'm sad that so many people have a warped sense of who God is. They have a warped sense of who He is. The goodness of God will satisfy our hearts. So it, just briefly, and maybe we'll hear more this afternoon in our Thanksgiving service. If you just come and share what God has done for you this year, I think you're going to start hearing the goodness of God. Brother Doug testified to us this morning. All I can say is, that's the goodness of God. That's the goodness of God. That's because, see, God's love is unconditional. It's not based on our performance this morning. Have you ever felt like that you are being judged based on performance? What do people think of you? How do people view you? I think probably most people have struggled with those things sometimes. God's love is unconditional for you this morning. And one of the things, and I wrote this down because I've been thinking about the goodness of God. One of the things that shows me God's goodness is that God accepts us for who we are. He created us. And sometimes people struggle with insecurity, with feelings of self-doubt, feeling like they're not accepted, whether they are or aren't. These are real struggles that people have. But do you realize that God accepts you? He accepts you this morning. He loves you and He cares about you. We live in a world where so many people are being rejected and pushed aside. And I just want you to know that God is there in His goodness and He's wanting to draw you and He accepts you this morning. So I don't know if it would do any good if I came by each one of you. I could either shake your hand or give you a hug or pat you on the head. I don't know. But if I told you, I said, I accept you. Some of you would kind of be like, okay, whatever. What do you mean by that? Some of you, you know what, might make you feel good to know that you're accepted. I accept you for who you are. But when we can get a vision and understanding that this is really how God views us, He accepts you. Oh, it makes it so much easier than to come into His presence when things are going good or things are difficult, because there's a God there that loves me, He created me, and He accepts me. Do you know something else God is? And He is the best forgiver I've ever known. Behold the goodness of God. He's a forgiver. It doesn't matter what you've done this morning. It doesn't matter how bad you've done. It doesn't matter the hurt that you've caused. The goodness of God, He wants to forgive you and release you and set you free from the things of the past. That's the goodness of God this morning. He's been so patient. He's been so faithful. He is the shepherd that went looking for the lost sheep. And I have to say, behold the goodness of God. He saves. He heals. He provides. We could go around each individual in this congregation and you could add to the list of the things that point out the goodness of God. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we proclaim. In closing, in Psalm 27, in verse 13, David said, I had fainted. I didn't know if I could make it. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see what? Someone help me out now. To see the goodness of God in the land of the living. In other words, I don't have to wait till I die. You know, I'm looking forward to heaven. Said last Sunday in Washington, I told him, I said, I'm getting a little homesick. I'm getting homesick for heaven, but I don't have to wait till I die to see the goodness of God. David was recognizing that I would have fainted, but I believed in the goodness of God, that I would see it in the land of the living. See, the goodness of God should give us hope this morning, even in the middle of our struggles. So thankful for the wonderful goodness of God. I love the Lord this morning. This has this message in it. My words are incapable and inadequate. But if the Spirit of the Lord can give you a little vision and begin to talk to you about the goodness of God, it will change how you face your trials. It'll change. It'll give you hope. It'll change when things are difficult around you. And I just want to say again to the Lord this morning, Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. And we love you, Lord, and we want to serve you with our hearts. May the Lord bless each one of you. May you too experience the goodness of God. Amen.